This lesson is entitled God's Will for the Holidays. Would you like to know God's will for the holidays? Would you like to know? I mean, so many people, so often, you know, they'll say, boy, I just wish I knew what God's will was, you know, for me at this particular moment in my life. What God's will is for me at this time in my life. You know, what is it? Well, I can share with you what God's will is for the holidays. I can do that. And I'm not going to be have to speculate about it. I'm not looking for a divine inspiration other than what the Scripture says. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. But I will let you know that my intention is that by the time we're done with this lesson, you won't have to open your Bibles there anymore, because you'll have it memorized. Some of you are saying, oh, no, wait a minute. No, not me. Well, we're going to attempt, okay? Work with me here, okay? Because we'll see what we can do. As I was studying this passage with someone last week, it occurred to me that it would be a good bridge between Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays. And we certainly touched on the idea of joyful Thanksgiving last week from Nehemiah chapter 12. We even made mention of this very text at the close of that message. Now, again, I want you to be prepared as we're going to put it up on the overhead for you as well. But you can read it right from the Scripture there. But in case you don't have your Bibles open or didn't bring them with you, you'll be able to see it on there as well. But I want you to read it with me the first couple of times through, okay? Here we go. Are you ready? It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's do that again. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it seems pretty clear to me that God's will is for His children to be full of joy. And not just some of the time, always. Because what did it say? Be joyful always, right? Joyful always. Now, would that include the Christmas holidays? I guess so, right? Because that's in the always umbrella, isn't it? The Christmas season resounds with the call to be joyful, doesn't it? I mean, we sing sometimes of comfort and joy. Already this morning we sang joy to the world and even unspeakable joy. Why do we sing of joy? Why is that so much a theme of the Christmas music and the holidays? Well, perhaps because of the birth announcement that the angel delivered to the shepherds. This is Luke 2. He said, I bring you good news that will cause what? Great joy, right? Great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So, when someone says, well, I just know God wants me to be happy, though I have sometimes disputed that, at least their version of what happiness means, it'd be pretty hard to argue against the fact that God does want for His children to be happy. If we're one of His children, He wants us to be happy. And not just some of the time, right? All the time. Because it's be joyful always. That doesn't mean that He wants us to do things that are hurtful or hateful or destructive to ourselves or others. No matter how much pleasure we may get in the process. And there are things that we get temporary pleasure from that we confuse with the kind of joy God wants us to experience and have. That are not, those things aren't necessarily good for us. And they can, especially in the long term, if not short term, cause great, great harm. What parent, though, hasn't said to their child, I just want you to be happy. I just want you to be happy. What husband has said that to his wife? I just want you to be happy, hon, because happy wife, happy life. Okay? Husbands are not, yeah. Because, yeah, I just want you to be happy, hon. I just want you to be happy. And not just some of the time, really all the time. But yet I don't know of a parent who ever meant that they wanted their kids to find happiness in selfish, irresponsible behavior. The joy we're speaking of here is the joy of knowing that the real gift of Christmas makes us right with God. It proves that He loves us no matter what. No matter what happens, no matter what situations or circumstances, God loves us. And that joy can rule in our hearts, even when the gift we waited for in line for all those hours is gone by the time we get there. Or when the sales clerk is rude, or the holiday shopper cut in front of us, or the Christmas bonus wasn't as much as we'd expected or didn't come at all. See, to be joyful always, we're going to have to get past those surface things, those temporary things, those things that we think will bring us joy, but never really do. Now, are you ready to read the text again? Here we go. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He did well. So another thing I see there is that God's will for us in the holidays is to do what? Well, to pray continually. I'll never forget the day my dad asked me to explain this verse. He'd only been a Christian for a short time, but he'd been studying the scriptures pretty intently, trying to determine, you know, what God's will was for him. And when he ran across this passage, he became very frustrated. This text threw him for a loop. He called me in and he says, I want you to look at this with me, read that to me, and I did. And he says, well, explain that. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, explain that. He says, come on, nobody can do this. Nobody can pray continually. Nobody can. Nobody can pray all the time. You can't tell me you do it, he said to me. And he said, you've been a Christian a lot longer than I have. He says, but you can't do it. You can't tell me that you pray all the time. Who can do that without stopping? Who? I asked him if he remembered the first time that I asked to borrow his car at a date. And I didn't want to take my old jalopy. I had this old 60 Rambler that was pea green, four-door, push-button automatic. It wasn't exactly a chick magnet. Dad's wasn't either, but it was still classier than mine. So I asked if I could borrow it, you know, to take her to the ball game. And he said, after a while of deliberation, he said, okay, but I want you to be very careful with it. And here, now listen to me. You can go pick her up, take her to the game, take her home, and come back here, and I don't want you to stop anywhere else. I said, you remember that, Dad? And he said, yeah. And I says, well, did you want me to stop for red lights? Stop signs? If a kid ran out in front of the car? If somebody stopped in front of me, did you want me to stop then? He says, well, don't be silly. You know what I meant. And he thought for a minute, and he says, yeah, I think I know what God means. He wants us to have that tenor, that heart of communicating with Him all the time. Recognizing there's going to be interruptions. There's going to be things that will stop us momentarily, but that we don't let that stop us from praying. In essence, I believe God is saying He wants us to stay in touch. He wants us to stay in touch. That's what He's saying. Imagine I bought my daughter a new phone with unlimited calls and texts so she could call me whenever she wanted. I want you to imagine further that she rarely, if ever, called me. And when she did, it was only because she needed something. Now, I'd be disappointed with that, as any father would. But it doesn't mean that I would take her off my plan. It doesn't mean that I would take away that privilege, that opportunity. I wouldn't do that as a father. I would want her to always be able to get in touch and just stay in touch. That's what I'm talking about. By virtue of Jesus' sacrifice, we can approach the throne anytime, anywhere. He's paid for a plan that gives us unlimited access. God's will over the holidays is that we stay in touch. And I don't mean with a Hallmark card, a forwarded email, or a group text. God's desire is to hear from His children first. Keep in touch. Keep in touch. Okay? You ready? I'll read it again. Be joyful always. Very good. Pray continually. Oh, you're getting it. Very good. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Very good. You did well. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Good job. You guys are doing well. God's will for us to give thanks. Now, we spent considerable time on that last week. But I'm pretty sure that in all circumstances, we'll have the Christmas season covered as well, don't you? I caught a bad bug this past week. I don't mean a ladybug or a beetle. I had a high fever all day Wednesday. Severe cough. Aches and pains. I thought I was going to die. Loss of appetite. It just kind of ruined my Thanksgiving, to be honest with you. I mean, Thanksgiving dinner is great, but it's not so great when you're sick. You know, Nina labored and making some stuff. We changed our plans. We were going to go out. I was going to do a dinner and a movie thing with her. I was planning this personal thing, just her and I, you know, to have a day together. And we had a day together, all right. So it didn't do a lot for Nina's Thanksgiving either. It wasn't quite what she had planned. Yet I was thankful for a warm bed, a very caring nurse, and access to medicine. And a lot of it. Now, it did stretch me to be thankful for the cough medicine. Pretty vile stuff, okay? But I was thankful for it nonetheless, that I had it to take and it had it to help me to get better. Reminds me of the song I sang as a kid. Maybe some of you know it. Talks about all the things the other kids got from Santa, and then just says, "But I got a cold for Christmas." I think it's on the flip side of "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas." I'm pretty sure it was, actually. 45. Kids don't have a clue. And I'm not talking about a gun. Okay? I'm talking about a little record bigger than a CD. You know what a CD is? Yeah. That's some of you. Okay. But yeah. But notice the passage doesn't say we're to be thankful for everything. It implies God wants us to be thankful in spite of everything. So God wants us to be grateful if we don't find what we asked for under the tree. He wants us to be thankful whether or not we have a white Christmas. Or even if it's a blue Christmas without someone we love. And that's hard. Extremely hard. But God's desire is for us to have thankful hearts, even if Christmas turns out to be a Christmas. If all the things that we think about, you know, that make Christmas special aren't quite what we expected them to be, or if things don't turn out quite the way we'd hoped, or if that we're thankful nonetheless, because Christ came into our mess. To clean it up. And restore relationships with God and to make us whole. And to make us holy. God wants us to see past the lack. To see what's not in Santa's sack, but what's in His. Forgiveness, mercy, acceptance, love, His presence now, and a heavenly home later. The assurance of forever joy and eternal communion with God, well, that should produce a gratefulness within us, no matter what time of year. But I think sometimes, especially this time of year, When we are so focused on that gift that would bring joy to all. On one level, my dad was right. No one can be happy all the time or pray 24/7 or even maintain a constant attitude of gratitude. We live in a fallen world and we are a fallen people. We are incapable of such heights of grandeur. But does our lack of joy rob God of His desire for us to have joy? No. Does our failure to communicate cause Him to delete us from His plan? No. Will our ungratefulness forfeit His faithfulness? No. Or our lack of appreciation for His gift and His gifts forfeit those gifts? No. Praise God. No. Yet there's a difference between God's imposed will and sometimes what might be called His expressed will. There are those things that He will make happen regardless of our cooperation. There are things He has set in stone. He says, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it done with or without your help. I'm going to get it done. And He will get it done. He got our salvation taken care of on the cross. Amen? He got it done in spite of His people's lack of cooperation. He got it done. And He's going to get us sanctified, folks. He's going to get us completely perfected in holiness, even without our full cooperation. Yet, there are some things that He desires to happen and even empowers us to make happen, but that I believe will not happen, at least not on this side of glory, unless we partner with Him. I am thoroughly convinced that there is more joy to be experienced in this life than we likely do because we're more concerned about our will than His. I doubt if it's everybody's favorite part of the Lord's Prayer, but it ought to be His children's favorite part. Your will be done. On earth. As it is in heaven. Your will be done in my heart. Your will be done in my life. I'm afraid we miss out on an awful lot of joy. Because that's not our plan. There's a deeper intimacy and a greater gratitude that we seldom, if ever, sense. Because our desires take precedent over His. His desire, His heart's desire, is that we be joyful always. That we pray continually. That we give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's His desire for us. He wants that for us. I'm convinced that the more we recognize what He's done for us in Christ Jesus, the more we're going to get a taste of what heaven will be like. When we'll be joyful always, be in constant communication with the Father. And we're going to be so thankful, so overflowing with gratitude. The more we open the eyes of our heart over the holidays to the source of all joy and thankfulness, well, the more we'll understand that the time is coming when God's will be done. His will be done. His desire for us will be an eternal reality. Really? Yeah. You ready? Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Very good. Very good. And you said you couldn't memorize. How about? Yeah. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's what He desires for you. It's what He wants for you. One day, those will not just be words memorized, though. It's going to be truth realized. And I look forward to that day. But until then, I'm going to make it my goal for my desire to be conscious. And I pray that you do. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for having such a wonderful, wonderful desire for us. You would want the very best for us. And God, that you would do everything imaginable and things that we couldn't have possibly imagined to make that a reality. I want to thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. I want to thank you, Father, for Him who now is the source of our joy, who is the one that enables us to be able to communicate with you anytime, anywhere. Father, yes. It fills our hearts with a sense of thankfulness and gratitude for what you have done and what is waiting, but also what can be here and now. May our hearts be full of joy, and may it overflow as we express our gratitude to you in prayer. And may others see that too. And they say, what have you got to be so happy about? We can tell them. What have you got to be so thankful about in your circumstance? Well, what is it that keeps you talking to God after what's going on? We can tell them that it's more than your will for us. It's also our will. It's our desire to live out your plan. The purpose. Jesus.